God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you this day. Now, many of you know, or some of you may know, that some of my favorite music is Christmas music. In fact, I have been known to insert a Christmas carol in the middle of a worship service during July just because I sort of need a Christmas carol fix. And even though I hate Christmas commercialization, I do my very best to defeat it, and it's with music. And so one of the things I do to begin the Christmas season for myself is to put on Herbert von Karajan's recording of the Messiah. It is for me the highlight of my own personal beginning of my Christmas celebration. One of the great choruses from Handel's Messiah begins, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." Part of a text taken from Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then from one of our hymns, the great hymn verse, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pasture, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are." And then moving from music, you take our gospel reading today, a couple of verses. "The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd of the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And I am the gate for the sheep. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So bucolic, such serene, restful, so grassy filled pastoral scenes. And for sheep, I pretty well imagine that living life to the fullest includes probably ample pasture and clean water and shelter in bad weather, both warm and dry, and safety from predators, four-legged and two-legged, protection from wandering away from the flock, maybe nap times in between grazing times, fathering and mothering lots of lambs, and then dying gently in one's sleep rather than for someone's dinner or someone's sacrifice. The shepherd does the hard work. The sheep just graze and let their wool grow. So if Jesus is comparing us, then parallel then life for human, metaphorically, sheep wouldn't be much different, would it? Plentiful food and beverage, shelter provided through wages adequate for a comfortable lifestyle, protection from harm at every quarter with guaranteed police, fire, and medical care, national defense, maybe even career opportunities, human counselors, resource staff, job training to foster abundant employment opportunities. All we'd have to do is one small part, and that would be to contribute to the community, such as metaphorically growing wool. And our shepherd then would certainly take care of all the rest. But let's throw in a little perspective here. If all we had of John's gospel was this fragment in which Jesus said, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd of the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. I am the gate. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. If that's all we had, we probably could conclude that you were just simply to be the woolly sheep to Jesus' shepherd. But here's the question for the day. Do we really think that the goal of Jesus' ministry was to produce a flock of sheep? I mean, think for a minute about all the effect that and effort that Jesus put into his teaching. He picked stories that people could readily relate to. Sheep and shepherds using a communal pen each night to thwart off predators and thieves and bandits. He picked examples of flowing streams and ancestral wells, literally keeping people alive. He reminded listeners how daylight and lamplight let people see beyond the shadows and the darkness of life, even during the night. He taught huge crowds and small crowds and individuals. He taught on hillsides and on the road and at meals and at synagogues and at the temple. So here's the question again for us. Do we really think that the goal of Jesus' ministry was to create a flock of sheep? I mean, do we think that? Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep. I came that the sheep may have life and have it more abundantly, or as the New Common English Bible says, are able to live life to the fullest. You know, if all the New Testament was lost and the only fragment we had was today's reading, our answer might well be, well, yes, that's what Jesus meant for us to model ourselves after sheep. Because based on this scripture, a sheep's life was the model of an abundant life. But we don't just have these verses, do we? We have the Gospel of John, the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke, and we have Paul's letters, and we have a series of letters from other writers in the New Testament. We have all the sacred Jewish texts, Jesus' holy scriptures, sometimes called the Old Testament, sometimes the Hebrew Bible, sometimes called the First Witness. And while we Christians may look and act like sheep, why we may go astray, and we do go astray individually and congregationally and collectively on a regular basis, we are not sheep. Nor did Jesus teach to sheep. He taught to women and men living in ancient Palestine. He taught from his roots. He started with Jewish understandings of real life, that life is a mutual dependence and codependence on one another and upon God. He added that real life was destined to be lived as we reach out to our neighbor and help one another. He taught that real life is that dependence, that coexistence, that mutual help that we are called upon to bring to our neighbor. That was the life, Jesus said, is lived to the fullest. This, he said, was the abundant life. You know, one of the things going around today is what is called prosperity gospel. It has it all wrong. Life abundant is not about wealth and things. It's not about the one with the most toys at the end winning. It's definitely not measured by material accumulation that we're told will make us happy, like those sheep who have lots of pasture. the chapter immediately before this, John chapter 9, Jesus has an encounter with a man born blind to whom he heals. And then comes the contentious encounter with the Pharisees over it. One biblical scholar provided us with an interesting insight. He said, the man cured of blindness can now live life in the eyes of his religion and culture and can live life to the fullest. Blindness, if you remember, in Jesus' time and culture equaled the byproduct of sin. And in this case, the sin of this man's parents carried over to their offspring. And so recovering sight meant receiving the gift of a new life, a life of inclusion instead of exclusion, a life of status as one who's a member of the community, not an outcast, a life now fit to be admitted to the synagogue and the temple, no longer declared unclean by ceremonial law. The man would no longer have to beg to survive. He could earn a living and support a wife. So now he would be allowed to marry and have children and take care of his parents and take up his community responsibilities alongside the other men. That's what it meant to live the fullness of life. But fullness of life vaporizes when some group denies the well-being of others. Fullness of life becomes tangible when each group is recognized as having worth, not worth based on prosperity or worth based on simply being human. Fullness of life comes like dough with fresh yeast. Fullness of life, the abundant life that Jesus is talking about, turns us from metaphorical sheep to passionate believers and doers of Jesus' directives. And so where Jesus leads us, we follow. He heals our prosperity blindness. We have eyes now that can no longer help but see that help must be given without restraint by prejudice or jealousy or despair, and must be received kindly in kind. Such is the way Christians and their shepherd create and reinforce this idea that we share in the protection of one another. You know, maybe I do need to rethink the title of my sermon. When I jotted down my title, I was asking if we liked being compared to sheep. I was being a little sarcastic, I think. So I will admit that there are many things about sheep that I would just as soon not be associated with. And some of them you are very, very much aware of. But there is really one thing that is so striking about sheep, and it is the insistence of Jesus that there be a strong bond between the sheep, God's people, and the gatekeeper, Jesus Christ. This word of hope is so integral to the whole mission of Christ, and it states that all who follow him faithfully will never see death, but will rather enjoy eternal life with God as gift for all who believe. And Jesus says we must listen to the voice of the true shepherd, the gatekeeper, amidst the noise and the chaos of the false prophets that fill our world. It's often a difficult task. But if we keep our attention fixed on Christ, then we are not going to be swayed by errant messages and voices that seem to surround us. Christ is the light at the end of the dark tunnel. And so we persevere, diligently holding fast to the road, not seeking detours or shortcuts. There is one and only one way to find life, and that is through Jesus, the gatekeeper. If you want to see something amazing, you can tune in on YouTube. I don't always believe everything I see, but sometimes when you see a video on YouTube, it's pretty hard not to disregard it. And somebody sent me a video of a group of tourists visiting a farm in Scotland. The shepherd and all the guests visitors are standing along the fence. And the sheep are out in the field just grazing and having just a wonderful time. And shepherd said to the tourists, call the sheep. And it's hilarious. One by one, it's like somebody calling, here, kitty, kitty, here, sheep, here, sheep, 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 here, sheep, sheep. And everybody taking their turn. And the sheep could absolutely pay no attention to them whatsoever. And then the shepherd stepped in, and the shepherd called them. And immediately they came. They heard his voice. They knew that this was the one that was real. And they made a beeline for the fence. Today's society presents us with so many choices and possibilities that only seem to grow more numerous with time and the advance of our culture. They say that variety is the spice of life, and I suppose there's some truth in that. Yet the many choices that stand before us can be so confusing. We need to learn to know how to wisely use this gift of our ability to choose. For this gift, if used constructively, can provide much good for our world, but of course, if abused, it can create untold grief. That is why we need to heed the voice of God when He calls us, when He calls us to speak and to act in His name. We are not to be only followers, but we are to be leaders who follow the voice of Jesus. You know, if you really think about it, it is really great to be a sheep. They don't worry about tomorrow's grazing or where the next winter's shelter is coming from. When the time comes, they look confidently to their shepherd, knowing that he will see to everything. There's a humbling trust involved in that, isn't there? But I don't think there is a sheep who covets or worries about the shepherd's problems. Life's taught us to be suspicious. Promises are broken with just enough frequency to make us wary. Disappointments leave scars, and we suffer the pain of not being able to trust. And unhappily, God reaps some of the fruit of our difficulties too. Faith cannot survive or thrive, or even exist on maybes. And could that be the reason that Jesus said it so plainly? I came that they might have life, and they might have life to the fullest. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. You know, broken promises with God are not even possible. So dare to continue your adventure of faith, today, tomorrow, and with this simple question or assumption: God's words to me are true, for even sheep trust their shepherd.